Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And looking at west winds, 10 to 15 knots today, and a moderate chop on the intercoastal waterways. Of course, chance of showers and thunderstorms, this afternoon. And tomorrow, southwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming south in the afternoon, and a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. So get out there early tomorrow, and you'll have a lot less wind than you will today. Monday, east winds, 5 to 10 knots, seas 3 to 5 feet. A chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tuesday, south winds 5 to 10 knots. Seas 3 to 4 feet. Chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. And then Wednesday, tropical storm conditions. So you ought to get out there and get fishing while you can before that storm comes in. Now I want to know, when they, you always hear people talk about, fish bite really good right before a front and right after a front. Mm-hmm. So if you go out there on Tuesday and you got 5 to 10 knots, and then at Tuesday night, actually Tuesday night says tropical storm conditions possible. So it's probably going to come in, that barometer is going to start dropping about probably Monday night.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then drop some more Tuesday and then drop some more Tuesday night. So
see how it picks up, huh?
Yeah.
I guess it's time to picking up the boat after all the work done on it. I guess it's time to take it somewhere and put it in a concrete bunker.
Yeah, you know?
I'm like, dadgummit, I just had all this work done to it.
Yeah, because your little boat shed there probably ain't going to.
No, I won't have it in that boat shed. No. So that means I'm going to have to probably take down the roof and the sides on it.
Yeah, it's I worry about mine because a lot of times that the piece that's bolted into the concrete, and I used to wash my boat out inside the shed, and of course the salt waters just eat that up, you know. But hopefully it's it'll hold. It's been there for years now, 20 something years, so hopefully it'll stay there again. But looking at this tropical storm, too, I'm thinking it's probably going to, the winds, of course, when it hits land, it's going to scoot by over here real quick, because that's what it does. It just, every time they hit land, they just speed up so fast. So I was kind of hoping it'd hit land a little bit, further south, so you'd have more of the land to calm it down before it got up here. I hate for it to hit land anywhere. Would rather it not, but, we've been so lucky up here that, would rather the winds only get, 20, 30 miles an hour. So, I could deal with that. But, this is one of the times we were talking about Endurance Tree Service. And here we are. All of a sudden, we got, tropical storm coming through. And it looks like it's going to come right through here.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't gotten, your trees trimmed and all that stuff, just because this one passes by doesn't mean the next one's not going to come back, too. So, give Endurance Tree Service a call at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Try to get them out there and let them look at your trees, because I tell you, if you got them hanging over your porches or hanging over your house or even hanging over your boat, that's not
good.
Not a good thing.
Yeah. Well, plus you got to look at how much rain we've had already.
Yep.
How saturated the ground is.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these trees, when you put heavy wind on them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, here we go.
Yeah. And oak trees, the roots are so close to the surface. That's usually the ones that get, blown over more. The pine trees, the roots are pretty deep. They got that tap root that goes straight down. So they're pretty deep. But I got a big pine tree that's off our kitchen, and I worry about that a lot.
Yeah.
Depends on which way the wind blows. But I've had some limbs trimmed out of it. Endurance came out and trimmed those for me. So, because I had one of them that was sticking out over the porch. I was like, nah, that needs to go.
If it's coming up this way, I think I'll just load up the dog and go to Georgia.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
stay up there, and hopefully it'll,
yeah,
you know, go away. My luck, it'll follow me right there.
Well, so. the way the direction is showing as of now, you know, they're showing it going toward Charleston. So
yeah,
you're be a lot west of that path.
I'm a little bit west of, when you look at it, by the way, crow flies, a little bit west of Jacksonville, northwest of Jacksonville. So, you know, being an excuse to go to Georgia.
Yeah.
I think it's coming. Maybe it'll get here. I'll just go there. So it's so nice up there right now. I mean, it's so green. Mm-hmm. You know, the fields are, you know, full of corn, and you know, the pear trees are loaded. You can see that, you know, you can tell what kind of, you know, year we're going to have up there with everything. I mean, everything's just crazy.
It ought to be green with all this rain.
Yeah.
I know everything around our yard's green. Ooh, even the weeds.
Even the weeds. Yeah, the problem with living in the valley is, you know, we have so many trees, you know, and, you know, if you lose power, you know, you lose power, but I'm not worried about losing the power as much as I am trees coming down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and of course we have generator, and, you know, you have the AC units you can stick in the window.
Yeah.
You know, because hooking them up to your main AC is just too much of a draw.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I would call Drance in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get them out now, get them out now to trim. But, I mean, that's what's so important every spring.
Exactly.
Go ahead and, you know, even in the wintertime, do all your trimming.
You don't know really how, unless you really look at it, you don't realize how much they've grown, you know. And, you know, it's like me. I mean, I just, all of a sudden I look up there and I got one laying right on electric service going to the house. You know, you just don't pay attention to it. And then all of a sudden you see it. It's like, you know, my God, that thing grew that much. You know, but it is what it is. So, you know, you shouldn't wait till the last minute. Try to get that stuff, you know, taken care of ahead of time. But so I wonder whether the fish are going to bite on Tuesday, right before that wind starts. I'd like to know if somebody else goes.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going to be able to go Tuesday, but I got some more. You know, got to take my wife to the doctor again. So we'll see. She's going to go through a stress test now. So
yeah,
You know, that's what happens when you get a little bit older.
Oh, man.
It is what it is.
True. You know? Very true.
But, yeah, and then you're supposed to fish again Thursday, too, and I don't know. I mean, if that thing comes through here, I can imagine what the wind's going to be like. Of course, if it passes pretty quick, it might be gone by then.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, this week's been redo everything on the boat.
Yeah.
You know, and Taylor, once again, came out with his steamer and took off the wrap and polished up the hull. It was a lot of work for him that day.
I bet.
Yeah, he worked hard. Then I dropped the boat off and had the gel coat work done at Brett's place, Great Atlantic. It was done quick. One day it was blown away. And then I dropped the upholstery off at Moose's. And it was done, like, instantly, and I'm like, this is crazy, you know? But, I mean, it's just, it's crazy how long sometimes you have to wait for stuff to get done, and then when you can get it done, you do it immediately.
Especially on a boat.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, a couple of years ago, we talk about, you know, when now people get moisture in their fuel, stuff like that, and you take it in to get worked on, and they had a huge long wait.
Yeah.
You know? It was just happening so much, you know, but I guess maybe people are following suit now and trying to fill their boat up on the way home so they don't have a half a tank of gas with all that condensation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. You want to have a full tank, especially when you store it for any length of time.
Yeah. That's one thing I'm happy with. That boat's full of fuel, you know. Truck I need to fill up today. I noticed that almost here. I was like, whoa.
Me too, at $3 a gallon now.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart. Anyway, give us a call, 222-8255, and we'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Benelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Yeah, buffing that out on your boat looks so good.
I tell you what.
Shiny black, man. I mean, it's like a mirror.
When I get this other boat, first thing I'm going to do is wrap it. I could not believe how well it protects. You figure that wrap's been on there for 5 years, and it held up incredibly well. I mean, that's the thing. I didn't have it peeling off. I had one split in it, which I put a sticker over. You know, it was about 6 inches long. And that wasn't because of the wrap. That was because it kissed the dock. You know, and it hit the wrap, so it didn't damage the hull at all. But if you buy a new boat and you want it to look good for a long time, and especially if you get a darker color, wrap it. It protects from scratches, from the sun. Ask Taylor. It's a pain in the butt to get the glue off because he worked his butt off on it. But thank you, Taylor, by the way. It protects it. I mean, my boat is an 09, and that color looks beautiful.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
And it's black, and that's one of the hardest ones to keep.
How long did you have it before you put the wrap on it?
A year.
Oh, wow.
And I was battling oxidation and having to wax it. And, you know, I took it to somebody who had it detailed, and then he's like, don't you dare use soap on this boat now. I'm like, what? He's like, you got to rinse it and chamois it off. I'm like, I can't rinse the deck and chamois it. You know, he's like, you don't use harsh chemicals on it because it takes a wax right off. And I'm like, well, but there's blood on it. There's, you know, you get ladyfish poop, you know, you get crab juice on it. It's like, that stuff is toxic, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think there's anything worse than crab juice and ladyfish poop.
Yeah.
Because that ladyfish poop hits it, it turns orange.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got to bleach it, and then you got to pressure wash it to get it off, you know? And, you know, it's funny how you get that brown stain from the water here.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, well, you got to use this, you got to use that. Curry Thomas, you've been to Curry Thomas Hardware, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
They have this, everybody has it probably, but it's oxalic acid. It's in a little square box. And I take that. It's, I think it's like powdered snowball.
Mm-hmm.
But you take that, I put 2 scoops in a gallon sprayer and 2 big squirts of Dawn in, but I fill it up with water first. 2 scoops, fill it with water, then put the Dawn in, because if you don't, it's just going to...
Yeah, it's going to bubble.
So anyway, I put it in there and shake it up, and, you know, you pump the spray up and spray it on, and it removes that stain immediately.
Mm.
But the reason you put the Dawn is in so it sticks, you know, because you spray the stuff on there, it just rolls right off.
Mm.
But, you know, you have to, you know, when I get home, it's always bleach the whole top. I have a pump spray with bleach and with Dawn in it also. And I know this sounds bad with wax, but when you're a charter guide, you know, that stuff gets on your boat, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I spray it down with that, let it sit for a few minutes, pressure wash it off. You know, it takes about a week, and that stain's really going on the hull of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Spray that off, you know, and spray it with that, and rinse it off. You want to wet your trailer first, because it will tarnish the aluminum. The
aluminum, yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing. I mean, it's so funny how different the boat looks like after 5 days being in the water. And having that brown stain, then you spray it, poof, it's white gone. Again, you know. And
looks good.
But
looks good right after you do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you don't want to stick it back in the water.
Yeah.
But they say if you wax the hull, it'll do that. But when your hull's on a trailer, you can't get it all.
Yeah.
So even with this spray stuff, I know that when when the boat's off the trailer, you're not going to see it because it's in the water. But when it's on the bunks, you can't see it either.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's a... You know, that brown, there's a perfect line of the bunk there.
Yeah,
on
right
it.
Where the bunk's at.
Yeah, so, and old Big Jim from Fat Cat Trailer, he's doing mobile stuff.
Uh-huh.
He came out and did some trailer work for me the other day, which was awesome. You know, and my brother's so funny because, why don't you do it yourself? He's very mechanically inclined, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm only good at fishing and bartending. You know, I'm like, you know, and he laughed because my brother can fix anything, you know, and I, and God love him because he's very talented. He paid attention. Him and my dad did stuff, you know, and he's always been that way. If it's electrical, plumbing, welding, fabricating, anything, he can do it. You know, if he can't do it, he'll look at a YouTube video and go, oh, that's how you do it and do it. You know, and I was so proud of myself when my washer quit, you know, that when you drop the lid, that pushes down in so it'll allow it to engage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, mine quit doing that. So I pulled up a YouTube video and fixed it. And I'm like, wow, this isn't really that bad. But, you know, I started laughing because I don't do that. I'm not that mechanically inclined, you know. And my poor brother, I was like, I break it, he fixes it, you know. Yeah. But he is paid back in a lot of ways, good ways. So.
Well, I mean, like you say, it's, you know, YouTube is, I've looked at it for fixing stuff a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just unreal. You can learn anything on it.
Yeah. Know? There's great fishing techniques.
Yeah.
I watch it all the
time.
Throwing
a cast net.
Yeah, throwing a... Well, I definitely needed that after the video that was posted to me, throwing a cast net once really
no,
bad.
Oh, really?
When my back... When I had some problems with my back, I couldn't rotate.
Oh, yeah.
So I just kind of... threw it. There's a video, and it's really bad, and Leon has posted it so many times that I'm like, look, man, paybacks are really harsh. So,
oh, man.
But, yeah, it's like, so we were talking about favorite fish. What's your favorite fish to catch, Vic?
I would have to say it's a cross between reds and sheep's head.
Is it?
And mainly I like to sight fish reds.
Mm-hmm.
If I could sight fish reds in the shallows,
yeah,
that's my thing. That's what I'd love to do. I love seeing the fish with his back out of the water, mm-hmm. just easing down a bank, you know. And, I mean, if they're pushing a wake, that's one thing, but I love it. As the tide's coming in, a lot of times they'll get up there in that shallow where their back could get out of the water, and that's my favorite.
You know,
throw a bait out in front of them.
watch him hump up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you feel that, you know, right when you see him jerk, you know, you feel that thump, you know. There's just something to it. Sheep's head, I like because of the way they bite and how they fight. But I guess, but I mean, those two are probably my favorite two. But I guess if you go to one, it'd have to be a redfish in the shallows. If I could just sight fish for them all the time, that's what I'd do.
I think second for me, other than tarpon, would be the floodgrass. Mm-hmm. I love going into the floodgrass after them. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I really like, though, is when we get the super moons and the tide gets way too high and you don't see them tailing, they start slurping.
Yeah.
And you'll watch, you'll be in the creeks that go into the flats, and they're not necessarily on the flat. They're in the creeks, and they're just sucking stuff off of the off the grass. And that's when I like throwing that little frog.
Yeah.
And people let you throw what? And it's this little frog.
little bass frog.
And you see him slurp, and all you do is pitch it up there and twitch it once, and you don't move it after that. And then you can see him. He'll come up like a carp real slow on it, look at it, and then suck it in. And then you got to wait because you can't set the hook immediately, you know. But and that and fly fishing for him in the grass, you know.
Where do you buy the frogs at?
At Academy. I mean, they're a cheap frog, and I usually I like a one little color. And
are they got the double hook?
Double hook, yeah. And they have the rubber band legs, as I call it, the little, you know, stretchy rubber coming off of them. But I played around with it. Leon was laughing at me one day because he's like, "You're not going to catch one, and you can cast it a mile, you know." And we're pushing through, you know, going into the flat, and I see one, and he goes, "You're not going to catch one with that." And I throw it. I mean, it's a bomb. He goes, "Wait, we'll get there." I go, "No, I got it. He goes, "You're not going to be able to reach." Pitch it over there. Boom. He's like, you know, and then there's a little rat. They have this little rat bass lure that's just a soft body, and I'll throw that in there, and it works really good too. But I've watched them eat spiders. I mean, they eat all kinds of stuff in that grass. But, you know, when it gets really super high where you don't see them tailing as much, that's one of my favorite times to fish for them. Because a lot of guys are like, they're out on the flats, you know, and I'll just come in real slow in the creeks. Because if you follow those creeks, it's fun to watch the tide start flooding in and watch the fish start getting active when they start coming into the little tide. And we're talking about a creek that might be, you know, 4 foot wide, you know, where your boat is rubbing the grass as you're going in, but you have enough water to float. And, you know, it's like I tell people that ask me about it, I'm like, look, go super slow. You know, you can actually get on the pole, and even if the creek is like 4 or 5 foot deep, you know, you can just don't use a trolling motor, just ease in and just kind of let the current pull the boat in and keep the boat in the right position, you know. And then also when that happens, marsh hen season's open, so I've got a shotgun on the boat, you know, and it's... I'll never forget that the boat I'm getting rid of, my boat has a casting deck on the front, and then Adam at All Aluminum Concepts built me a backrest so you can lean into it. You can stand up on it and you're real comfortable. Well, then he also built me a shotgun holder.
Yeah.
So it clips in, and then I remember we were running from one flat over to another, and there was a family boat out there, and the guy looks over at us, and we're not running that fast. He looks over and he goes, "They've got a gun on that boat." You know? And I'm laughing. I'm like, "Yep, you know you're a redneck when."
Yeah. You just have the gun racks in the back windows of the truck.
Yeah, now I've got it on the front of the boat. You know, the gun's it's not loaded, obviously, but it's funny, you know. But it's always fun to, that's my favorite time of the year, you know. And then because of the big jack, when you come out, when the tide starts backing out, you got big jacks blowing up and, you know, you can throw at stuff like that when you come out. But, yeah, watching the one back down the bank, Vic, I agree with you there. It's phenomenal.
So when you start booking for the Cast and Blast?
A lot of guys will have me call them when the tides are going to be right, you know. And I think I usually only book about 11, 12 a year, you know, for the Cast and Blast.
That's great, man. But, we'll give out Chip's phone number, too, when we come back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Representative Dan Crenshaw is calling for Gwen Berry to be removed from the U.S. Olympic team. That's after the bronze medal-winning hammer thrower expressed frustration and appeared to protest the national anthem when it was played while she was on the platform. Elsa strengthened into the first hurricane of the Atlantic season on Friday as it blew the roofs off of buildings and snapped trees in the eastern Caribbean. Officials there closed schools, businesses, and airports. It appeared headed eventually in the general direction of Florida. There is some concern there in Surfside, Florida, that the storm could pummel the Miami area. U.S. Senator Tom Cotton says he agrees with former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who passed away this week, that the DOD is populated with far too many attorneys. Senator Cotton calls himself a recovering lawyer, out of the practice now for 18 years. This is SRN News.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-793-9159.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-793-9159. That's 1-800-793-9159.
Make someone's day with a little help from Kuhn Flowers. Fresh flowers have a way of adding that extra bit of beauty to your home. They're also a great way to brighten someone's day. And what better way is there to show someone just how much you care than with a fresh bouquet of flowers? One thing's for sure, when you order flowers from Kuhn Flowers, you're going to get the brightest, most colorful, professionally arranged, long-lasting floral arrangements available. Call Kuhn Flowers today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or you can shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com. Kuhn Flowers, making memories since 1947.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
protection,
friendship,
escape,
independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. It may be a holiday for a lot of people, but we'll be in live July 5th, breaking down the big July 4th weekend. Did it feel normal? Did you burn your mask and have a good hot dog? I hope so.
Plus, did the Democrats realize that they need to back away from some of the craziest left-wing policies they've been talking about in recent weeks? We'll talk about their strategy and more coming up on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
WBOB. How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
The Jacksonville 4th of July weekend forecast. Tonight, cloudy with showers, a low in the mid-70s. A good chance of rain Saturday and Saturday night. The temperature topping out during the day at 86, overnight down to 73. July 4th, a 70% chance of showers, real humid and a high of 87. Monday, the same, cloudy, rainy, muggy in the upper 80s.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Captain Chip Wingo, 904-614-4989. That's 614-4989. Give him a call. When?
The casting blasts are September 9th through the November 15th, but it has to be on the flood tide. So I have to go through the calendar and look in the tide predictions.
Yeah.
You know, and see the best times. I mean, and they don't always flood outright. Mm. You know, I've had days where they said it's going to be a 5.8 and it's, you know, 5.2. But that being said, you can still do it.
Yeah, because it depends on, a lot on the wind.
Yeah. And if the worse the weather, the better it is.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get a 25-knot wind northeast. It pushes the tide up higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like duck hunting. You know, it's like it seems the worse the weather, the better the hunt, you know. But, and it's I supply the shotgun, too, because I have an old, like, JCPenney's pump polychoke 12-gauge. Mm-hmm. You know, and I use light birdshot. I'm like, these guys are like, well, I have a real nice gun I'll bring out here. You don't want to bring that real nice gun out here. I'm telling you, because it's going to get wet, salty, and everything else. And, you know, but I just have so much fun doing it. You know, and a lot of the guys I have that go out, you know, they're not looking to shoot a limit of 15 birds. You know,
that's the limit?
Yeah, 15 per person. And a lot of the guys will shoot, you know, 6-8 birds, keep them, you know, we clean them, and then, they'll catch a redfish and they'll have a surf and turf of some sort, you know, and it wouldn't be a surf and turf. It'd be a surf and air, I guess. But, you know, they have fun with it. I mean, I like marsh hens. You know, I've heard a lot of people, I wouldn't eat those, you know, mud chickens, you know, and I'm like, I love them. I wrap them in prosciutto. Big Bill did them last year and he went with me last year, him and Lee Bowman. And they had a great limit of birds, and they loved them too. Mm. You know, it's just one of those things that's different, you know.
Yeah.
We have so many opportunities in North Florida to fish and to hunt and do different things. And, you know, I don't do duck hunts. You know, that's a total different world there.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy the marsh hens, you know, and it looks like we have a bumper crop, so to speak, of them this year because I'm seeing and hearing so many of them in the areas I hunted last year. You know, and they're not the fastest bird in the world, but they're, you know, I still watch people miss them, you know, and, you know, but it's, you know, it's like we get to, you know, when sheep's head are in here, you're going sheep's head fishing. When the drum are in, you want to drum fish. You know, when the flood tides hit, I want to shoot birds and catch the tail and redfish. And then I want to throw the fly at the big jacks that are schooling up. And usually that time of year, the mullet run starts going on. So there's so much happening.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you can make I got guys that make a full day out of it too. We'll fish with different stuff until the tide gets right, and then we run in and do that. But you know, usually your flood tide action only lasts about 2 hours of actual shooting and fishing because the tide's coming in, and then when it starts to turn, buddy, you better get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't wait. As soon as I see the grass turn a little bit, I'm gone. Because it drops so fast.
Yeah. And it's not like getting on a sandbar
you're there
an hour before low tide. You know, you're only sitting a couple hours. You know, you got to wait all the way till high tide again.
If it floods out enough to get you off of it again. So, but, you know, that's why I love living in North Florida. Yeah, I love going to Tampa and the Keys and Charlotte Harbor and all these other places and fishing this pretty water.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, we talked about trout not being that good this year, but usually our trout fishing's so good, you know, and, you know, our flounder run's always phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, and actually I'm really happy this year because we're able to target them and have so much fun with them now. You know, before the closure.
Yeah, being that they're in pretty good right now. You know, a lot of small ones, but still there is some nice ones around.
Yeah, well, it's just like red fishing. I mean, you know, we're going to catch small redfish. Right. We're going to catch oversized fish you can't keep. And, you know, it's kind of funny. A lot of my clients don't keep fish, you know, and a lot of my regulars don't keep fish, and which is fine with me either way.
Yeah.
And I would prefer it if, you know, you kept one per person instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to stop somebody. If they want to keep fish, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, if it's legal.
Unless it's 100 croakers.
Yeah.
You're cleaning those. Yeah.
Excuse me, exactly.
I mean, my least favorite part about fishing, chartering, is cleaning fish. You know, and I'll do it, but I joke about it. It's like, I'll do it to Leon all the time. He'll be cleaning fish, and I'll sneak up behind him and drop a net of fish in his boat. Man, you got a bunch right there to clean. And he just turns and I'll go get him a beer. I'll go get him a draft beer from PVO. And I go, here you go, buddy. And he's like, okay. And he's, you know.
He's so good at it.
Oh, he's very good at cleaning. Fast, too. You know.
I'm not fast at all.
Yeah. It's funny to watch.
Clean millions of fish, but I'm not fast.
Now, on the same hand or point about that, when I'm cleaning tuna, wahoo, dolphin, love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're big fish, really big fish. You know, I don't mind that, but, you know, it's like, I don't know. But it is kind of interesting, though, to see what they're eating. You know, mm-hmm. when I do clean fish, that's one of the biggest things I pay attention to is, you know, what are the flounder feeding on? What are the redfish eating on?
Yeah.
You know,
and you see that stomach open.
Yeah. And look and see. And then you get some that have absolutely nothing in them. And you're like, wow, he was hungry.
Yeah.
You know, and no wonder he slammed that topwater plug like that, you know. But that's what's weird this year is the topwater bite for me has not been good.
Mm.
You know, and that's when, you know, one of the fun things to do is watch a fish crush a bait.
Yeah. And we're coming from what I picture is, you know, the good time of the year because I used to love May and June mm-hmm. for topwater. And then, of course, July gets a little warm. I mean, you still catch them, but, you know, to me, it's, you know, not quite as warm yet. And then again, when it starts cooling back down.
Yeah. Well, in with clients, a lot of times, if I have two people on the boat and they really want to try it, a lot of times I'll put them on poppers.
Hmm.
You know, like the, what's that popper called? The big chug bug?
Yeah.
Put them on a chug bug. They can cast it really easy. A lot of times, you know, I've been going with those single hooks. So I'll put a single hook on the tail. And not one in the mid body.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier, you know, you can actually use that inline hook. It doesn't tangle, like Craig said earlier, it doesn't tangle as much. But it's easy for somebody to use a popper, you know, and a popping plug because they can work it, you know, and then you can have them get used to trying to walk the dog with it and they still make it work. And then once they've got that cadence down with making it walk, you know, and I'm telling them, go slow. I like to work topwater plug slow.
I do too.
You know, I'm not you're really fast going through the water with it.
So. Now, Jimmy Allen used to, you know, owned White Shell Fish Camp.
Yeah.
And when him and Fred Morrow and myself had fished together, I could not believe how fast he did the topwaters.
Really?
I mean, just unbelievable fast.
Yeah.
And he'd get fish. But I can't seem to, you know, to catch, get any strikes when I do it fast.
If you're throwing it jacks, you know, you don't even have to do anything but reel it as fast as you can and watch it skipping across the top of the water and they hammer it. But, yeah, you know, it's funny watching, we were talking about learning different stuff.
Yeah.
Watching different people throw lures the way they do, like Bob Morris, watching him throw a fluke on a jig head. And, I mean, he pops it. Hops it up and drops it back down. And watching him, he hammers fish like that, redfish, you know, and watching the, even fishing with Mike yesterday, watching the way he throws a soft plastic, you know, and different people the way they do it. Cause I'll ask, you know, when I'm fishing with somebody, I'm like, well, what were you doing when he ate? You know, were you reeling it slow? Were you hitting the bottom? Were you off the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get an idea of, because I'll change it up. You know, I'll do a little popping technique with the paddle tails, or I'll do a slow drag across the bottom.
Yeah.
A little faster retrieve.
You got to mix it up to see what they're willing to hit.
Yeah.
See what's going to, you know, kind of, in you know, make them enthused enough to strike it. I mean, you know, when I'm doing the top orders like that, I mean, I love to pause them. And I don't twitch them that many times before I pause it know, each time. But, you know, it's seems to work better for me.
Yeah. Well, your bomber long A's, you work kind of slow too, don't you?
Yeah, I work slow. I mean, you keep them moving though, but
yeah
I don't drag them down to 3 or 4 feet deep.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they'll go down that deep, but you know, I just keep them like 18 inches from the surface, you know. I mean, I've had people on board that's actually moved them so slow they look like walking the dog on top of the water, and all they're doing is reeling.
Yep.
And that thing wiggles back and forth, and they've caught fish on them.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of wake baits like that now that have a small lip.
Yeah.
And you can just get it. I mean, it stays under maybe 2 inches.
Mm.
And it seems like they get hammered.
Yeah.
You know, makes sense, but.
Yeah, I was telling a guy one time about the bomber long A, and I said, you got to get it a little bit faster where that lure will go down and then boom. And he gets, then he got a trout. I was like, well, okay. Do what you're doing.
Never mind.
Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried. Or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood. Located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp. Located at 5212 Hexer Drive, they have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
I know you probably wonder why we was looking at you, but we sounded like you was trying to talk to us, and I look over, and you weren't.
I was like, why are they staring at me?
Yeah, I don't know what that, you know, static was coming through, but anyway. But yeah, it's, you know, when we were talking about this weather going on and the trout fishing, man, I just can't get over how, you know, I'm wanting the trout to fire up so bad. And I have been for, you know, a year now, and a half. I mean, it's just unbelievable how they are. But there again, I haven't went south of downtown either.
Yeah.
To fish for them. And I'm kind of curious as to what, you know, what's happening down there.
Yeah.
As much rain as we've been having, you know, south of us, I would think it would, you know, push them back out here, you know, where we normally fish for them at. But it doesn't seem to be doing that.
Well, you know, I looked back through, I like to look back through my logs and look for certain fish, certain time, like July and August, you know, and I did extremely well up around the Buckman area, on trout in July and into August. And, you know, a lot of times I was fishing, you know, different techniques. We throw topwater, we throw bombers, we throw Miradines, you know, and stuff like that. But one of the better ways I found it was like on the channel edges, when you go into the, you know, the deeper, it's not that deep in the St. John's up there, but you know, I'm talking about the deeper edges.
Yeah.
I go in and mark with my depth recorder and get off the edge of them and throw. Back then I used to throw a gulp sinking minnow and it was just, it looked like a pin, or this pin. It was just a straight bait, nothing to it.
Mm-hmm.
No tail. And I would hook it on a 3/8 ounce jig head, and you throw up current and then bounce it coming back towards you. And we hammered them that way. I mean, especially the big yellow mouse, but you know, and then I started looking at it, and it's this time of year that we would find them up there. And then, you know how that water is up there. It's not real clean, you know, and it's not pretty, and it has that fresh water smell to it, you know, but, they were there. And that makes me want to run back up there and put in and go fish those areas and check it out. Now, I didn't do really well on the trout in under like 5 feet of water, you know, but a little bit deeper water, I did well, you know, and we'd also pick up big flounder. We'd pick up redfish, you know, some of the biggest croakers I've ever seen doing that. And, you know, but it was fun, you know, you're bending the rod and, you know, I miss those big yellowmouth trout bites. I mean, we're catching them up over 4 pounds, you know, and big, and some even bigger. And it was every cast, you know, and now it's just a matter of going and looking for them again, you know.
Well, and see, we've caught a lot of trout and usually in May and June. And, when you're talking about looking up in your log, we used to go up, especially in June, and float fish under the Danes Point Bridge up in Mill Cove, that area of the Danes Point, and do really good on trout.
Yeah.
I ain't got a bite up there.
Wow. No flounder, no redfish, nope, nothing?
Just a couple of ladyfish. That's it.
Wow.
And that's just unbelievable because, you know, I mean, here we are back out of June again. Now we're in July. But it used to be the end of May all through June you could go up there and do that.
Yeah.
And that's why we would hook a tarpon now and then in there.
Yeah.
But nothing. Can't, you know, ladyfish here and ladyfish there.
Yeah. I mean, Mill Cove, that whole area produces some amazing fish, you know, big trout. You know, it makes sense, too. They come off the deep water.
Yeah.
You know, into the flats right there. You have the river so close to it. And the river's deep right there. You know, and even the you know, the rocks at the jetties, or, I mean, the rocks at the Dames Point.
Yeah.
Where you go down. I used to love to float fish those. You know, and you'd pull drum out. You'd get redfish. You'd catch big trout.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, you look at some of the guys that won these tournaments, though, and those bombers, the blueback bombers up there on those rocks around the Dames Point, they're catching huge trout, you know. And
yeah, and we used to also. I'd go right down, put that boat right over the rocks and, and, you know, slow troll right down through there and cast into the grass.
Yeah. You mean going over them back on the backside?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that with topwater plugs and lost a few fish, too, you know, where you get them over the edge of the rocks and they go deep. But, yeah, that whole area, I mean, you could spend a whole day fishing around that island out there from the Dames Point up all that big spoil island all the way back around. And
you know, the west end of it. Now, I haven't been up there because they put a barge up there.
Yeah.
Last time I was up there and it was still there. Just it's sort of like the barge they got in Mill Cove now.
Yeah.
The entrance to Mill Cove, they've got a barge there too. And a lot of times when that thing's pumping water, you see it pumping water. The water's dirty there.
Yeah. Well, you know, that whole area, remember when we used to be able to fish underneath the docks over there by the power lines or to the docks? We used to catch big trout over there, and there's a big rock pile that's just east of that end where we used to be able to go, and now you can't get up on that island anymore. But, and even all that are all around Blunt Island, I mean, golly, I used to love going and fishing that area.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even consider it now, you know.
Especially from the rocks there at the east end of Blunt Island, down that rock bank. I mean, there's rocks that people don't never see in there. That goes toward Clapboard, all down that bank. Used to love to fish that bank.
Well, you were speaking of Clapboard too. When you're coming into Clapboard, the marina that's on the left hand side.
Yeah.
We used to go out there a lot on outgoing tide. And that this was before spot lock, before I had my spot lock. Now I would love it because you have to fight that current and hold yourself there. But you could throw up in that little sweep where it comes down in front of the marina because you had two different currents coming in there, one out of Clapboard and one coming from Brown's area.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's hard sometimes because you look at so many different areas that we used to fish. I haven't been back to in so long.
I know, yeah.
You know, and you, then you ride by it one day and there's nobody fishing it. You know, all the Hess docks and all that stuff down there where we used to, you know, throw a lot of artificials and catch huge fish, big reds, big trout, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. It was always so much fun.
Yeah, it's so strange to, like you say, a lot of that stuff where we used to, you used to fish at when you pass by there. Now it's like, you know, oh, man, I need to go back and try that. And I hardly ever do.
Yeah.
You know? It's because you find these other areas, you know. We was talking about Taylor a while ago. Hey, Taylor.
What's going on?
Hey, did you hear us talk about you?
No.
Uh-oh.
He must be working again.
No, I'm not working. I was thinking about taking my boat out, but I got to find somebody to go with.
I gotcha. Hey, thanks again, Taylor.
No problem.
Yeah, no problem. He worked his butt off, man.
Yeah, he showed me pictures of that boat, man. You did a great job on that thing.
Yeah, it was funny. He's like, I don't want this to take all day. You realize it's harder than he thought.
Yeah, it was a lot more work than you thought, too. So
I know.
But I tell you what, you did a phenomenal job, and I thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I went out fishing with Brett last Sunday. We caught like four or five flounders, a couple reds, what did we catch? Ladyfish. That sucked, but they're fighting pretty hard. Jack, we caught everything last Sunday.
Good.
Nice. I don't mind catching those. I like catching ladyfish when they're hitting artificials.
Were you in your boat?
I used my boat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had it on the list, but now the 26th is going to be done in a couple weeks. It was, I don't know, it might be done next weekend, but I had to take it off the list so Phil could put his boat back on the upper lift.
Well, tomorrow's only 5 to 10 knot winds.
Yeah, tomorrow's.
Today looks pretty calm.
Yeah, it probably will for a while.
That's the problem. You got to get out there really early in the morning, though. That's the problem because the boat ramp's going to fill up really quick this weekend.
Yeah, they are. And the other thing is you want to get out there early anyway because of the afternoon showers that we seem to have every day.
Yeah, they were supposed to expand the Mike BQ boat ramp, but I don't know when they're going to start on that. You know anything about that?
Start on what?
They were supposed to make the beach marine, the Mike BQ boat ramp, a little bit bigger. Oh. There's some work to it, but I don't know when they're going to start on it.
I don't know how they could make it bigger.
I don't either. I don't know. Huh. I haven't heard yet.
More parking spots or something. There's land beside it, that fenced-in area right there. I don't know if they're
going to. I know there's a big spoil area behind it. Yeah.
A lot of times you can pick up fishing connection paper and look in there. And Captain Jim Suber, he's the waterways coordinator with the city of Jacksonville. And a lot of times he'll put in there, in his article, he always does a big article and talks about what they're going to do and when they're going to do it and all this stuff.
He sent me the map a while back of what they were going to do in the areas. It was going to expand out.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the timeline.
Yeah, I don't either. I have no idea. But
apparently they're working on Mayport, though. They closed the overflow lot off, right? They already did that?
Closed what?
The overflow lot.
The overflow in Mayport?
Yeah. Either they closed it or they're fixing to close it. I don't know which one.
If somebody told me a snapper season it would be closed, they wouldn't be able to use it.
See, that's unbelievable to me. I mean, here they're going to close down Sisters Creek Ramp, too, on Sunday, I think it is. And,
oh, really? For what? Why are they doing that for?
Kingfish Tournament.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Kingfish Tournament's all next week. Or not this coming week, but the next week, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy they take out that whole ramp.
Yeah, and what else is crazy is them doing that work over there on the overflow lot this time of the year. When you got snapper season, Kingfish Tournament, all of that going on. That's just the craziest time to do it.
Yeah, it should have been in the wintertime, but oh well.
Yeah. Appreciate you calling, Taylor. And you did,
thanks, Taylor.
You did a great job on that boat, man. Good looking pictures.
All right. Talk soon.
You too. And that's it again. We'll be back next week, same time.